Well, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Redeemer Bible Church. Glad that you are here this morning. Thank you for those who are here this morning here on site, and for those perhaps that are viewing in this morning online, welcome. I don't know about you, it kind of feels like I lost an hour or something last night, right? It kind of feels like you kind of feel it this morning, don't you? Well, for those of you, the few, the proud, the brave, the Marines, thank you for coming this morning to be here as we come to do what we have been tasked to do, and that is to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the very best of our capability. Let me just share with you a couple of things. One, if you are new here, if you are a guest here this morning, we're very glad that you're here. And in the pew around you, you'll find one of these little Connect cards. And if you would just take that out and fill that out, we'd love for you to bring it back at the back of the building here when the service is over. I'll be standing back there. Be glad to take that from you. And if you are a guest, first time here, we'd like to give you a gift. We have a coffee mug that you can even use evangelistically. So if you are a member here and you haven't received one of those, come on back. We'll be glad to get you one of those. But just bear that in mind. And furthermore, if you are a regular here, or you just need an update on your information for us, we'd love for you to fill that out and give us an update so we can update that information for you, and so we can stay in contact with you. And if you have a prayer need, you can also put this on this little card as well, okay? Well, I don't think there's any other announcements to be made. I would say to you, however, that there are usually a good deal of announcements here in the church, and make sure you pick up one of these in addition to having the sermon notes on the back. Pick this up so that you can look at those announcements and have them for yourself. And so just keep those in mind. So, all right, why don't we go to the Lord in prayer? Would you bow with me? Our holy, majestic, all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-well-present, holy, wondrous God, we come before you this morning, Lord, with the task that we are excited about doing, the task that we will spend eternity doing, and that's being in your presence corporately to worship you. Lord, we pray this morning that you will empower us, motivate us to do that well. Lord, we pray that there is no sin in our lives this morning that darken the pathway to you. Lord, if there is, we lay it at your feet. Lord, we pray that this morning, if there's some other difficulty, problem that's keeping us from you, Lord, that you will invade that territory in our lives this morning and turn our attention to you. Lord, we pray that you'll help us as we sing your praises. Lord, help the focus to be you and you alone. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to be able to hear your inerrant truth this morning, that you would help Pastor Forrest present that truth to us today. Lord, help us to take your truth, and Lord, help it not to be simply a mental exercise, but Lord, let it be in our lives that which becomes a part of the very fabric of our lives as we apply that truth to our lives. Help us this morning to know you more, to love you better, not only during this hour, but when we leave this place. Lord, give us the opportunity, Father, to impact the lives of other people, to influence them for you through our lives and through our lips. Lord, we pray your blessing upon those around the globe, missionaries, people who put their lives on the line to share your truth with people. May you bless them, Lord. Encourage them and help them. Provide for their needs. Lord, may your blessing rest upon this nation. Lord, we pray that you will empower the local leaders, state, national leaders, to accomplish your will even when they don't even know that they're doing it. We pray that you speak into their lives and direct them to have your agenda. And Lord, we pray that in this nation, you will bring yet again revival, not only here, but around the world. And Lord, help us to be a part of that here at Redeemer Bible Church. Lord, we commit this service to you because we love you, we need you, we praise you. And we do all of this because of the matchless gift of Jesus Christ our Lord, who is risen from the dead, who paid a sin debt we could not pay. In his name we pray this morning. Amen.
Good morning, Redeemer. Let's stand to our feet and worship together.
We're reaching out to welcome you, God. Fill this place again with your song, and flood our thoughts with wonder and awe. Give us a greater glimpse of an ever-changing God.
All we want,
all we want, and all we need. Found in you, Jesus, every victory is found in you, is found in you. Oh, 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 oh. Open wide our hearts now to yours. Every bow down to your love, that we would see like never before. Give us a greater glimpse of an ever-changing God. And all we want and all we need is found in.
Okay, here's the question for you. This is my son, Ashton, my youngest son. Here's the question for you. When was the last time you changed a diaper? Okay, so this is what you're going to ask, tell the people about, like, hi, my name is Forrest, and the last time I changed a diaper was when he was a lot smaller. So that's what you're going to ask. So it seems kind of pointless, like, why are we talking about dirty? You'll know soon enough. So this is our meet and greet time. Welcome people, thank them for being here. And when was the last time you changed a dirty diaper?
Good morning. We'll be reading from the Psalms, Psalm 119. Verses 129 through 136. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is towards those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes, because men do not keep your law. Thank you. You may be seated, or no, remain standing. We're still worshiping.
You may remain standing. Thank you. All right. What can wash?
What can wash away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. But the blood of Jesus, not a good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. The blood of Jesus.
Because the blood.
Because the blood of Jesus is enough for me. Oh, the blood of Jesus is enough. This is all my hope. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other bounds I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus is enough. riches, he's the fool that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this all.
Song this morning. It's not really that new. It might be new to us though. I just want you guys to really focus on the words first couple times around. It's more of a proclamation of how we truly feel. We're proclaiming that God has given us every breath in our lungs, and we're not worthy, we're not deserving, but he's given it to us. And every morning we wake up, we need to remember that, no matter what's going on in life, that he is worthy of everything.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken.
It's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
You give life.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
Everyone sing all the earth.
Shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great. Shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour. In our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise, it's your breath. In our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
Sing, great are you, Lord.
Great are you, Lord. Great are you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for being who you are. And thank you for being in control of everything. Lord, you haven't put it upon ourselves to make our own way in this life or to try to figure everything out on our own. You literally have given us your word that we can follow every step of the way. And beyond that, you've even given us your Holy Spirit to guide us, to interpret, and to lead us along our path. We are not in this alone. Even right now, in this moment, you're here with us. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't try to just grit our teeth and white-knuckle our way through this life. I pray that we would surrender to you every morning. For better, for worse, laying it at your feet, realizing that it's only through you that we can live this life the right way. And it's only through you that we are saved. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen.
Okay, so if you don't know this already, you'll learn it soon, or you'll hear about it. Toddlers are reluctant to give up diapers. They are reluctant to do so. Now, it's understandable because all of their life, short 1 or 2 years, all of their life they've worn a diaper virtually every day. So it's pretty much familiar to them. And to be honest, from their perspective, it's pretty convenient. You know, you're having fun playing with your friends and you don't need to stop and go inside to go run and use the bathroom. I mean, diapers are pretty convenient from a toddler's perspective. So we can understand why they're reluctant to give them up. And what moms and dads have to do is they have to convince the toddler that it's in their best interest to give up diapers. And that, on many occasions, is an awfully difficult thing to do. Because toddlers are reluctant to give up diapers. Believers are oftentimes reluctant to give up their signature sin. Believers are oftentimes reluctant to give up their signature sin. Now, believers, for the most part, don't have any trouble giving up the biggies, the obvious ones. But oftentimes, there is a sin, which I'll call signature sin. It's not my term. I ripped it off from somebody else. They're reluctant to give up their signature sin. And the reason is because they're familiar. It's probably something that they have been doing for several years. It's a part of their life, and for the most part, there's some consequences, but it's not that big of a deal. So they've kind of managed their way around it. And the reality is sometimes it's convenient. There are certainly consequences, but for the most part, it's easier to take care of whatever the issue is instead of waiting on the Lord. It's convenient. And we don't talk a lot about these signature sins because there are a lot of times there are things that are done in private. They're either done in the privacy of a person's home or even the privacy of their mind. But the reality is that you have to, at some point, either be convinced by someone else or convince yourself that you need to give up your signature sin. And if you're not ever convinced, you'll just keep doing it. Because believers are reluctant to give up a signature sin. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to pose the question, why should a believer give up their sin? Why should a believer stop sinning? And let's be very honest. That is something that's a little bit tricky for us, because here's the truth. We know, and if you don't know, you'll learn soon, that Jesus went to the cross and he died to take the penalty for the sins of those who believe. That was a huge event. That was a powerful event. So the reality is even if you sin, you can have that forgiven. It's possible to do. And so the question that nobody says out loud, but the question is, why should we stop sinning? And to take it even one step further, 1 John 1:9 says, God is faithful and he's just. He will not only forgive us of our sin, he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man, why? Why should we stop sinning? That's what we're going to look at as we look at the book of Romans, and we're going to it's a pretty intense argument, and I think it'll become clear as we go through. But we're going to be back in the book of Romans. So if you have your Bible, I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of Romans. Now, for those of you who are paying attention at this point in the service, you're going to notice that I have a different Bible in my hand down here, right? I usually have a blue one, not a black one. This one's a little bigger and thinner. Okay, I'm going to be reading from a different translation this morning. and may start using this translation going forward. I'll let you know. But just to give you a heads up, it's going to be a little different than what you're used to hearing. So we're in the book of Romans, and what we're doing in the book of Romans is we're going through this section which is talking about the theology of sin. What is sin? Why is it here? How do we get rid of all that stuff? It's the theology of sin is what we're talking about. And today we're going to be in Romans chapter 6, so flip on over to Romans chapter 6. And the verses that we're going to look at today is where are going to talk about why should a believer stop sinning? And there's an interesting argument that's related here, and it's not one we often think about. And so that's why I'm going to try to slow it down and unpack it a little bit for you and help you to see what's being talked about. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. And Paul kind of lays out some reasons why a believer should not sin. And now when I say a believer, I'm talking about people who have entered into a right relationship with God because of their faith in Jesus. And so why should those people not sin? And what we're going to see in these verses here is that they shouldn't sin because they're new. And then the next couple of verses later, we're going to say that they shouldn't sin because they're alive. And then the last part of that we're going to see is that they shouldn't sin because they've been graced. That's something we talked about last week, and I'm going to develop a little bit more this morning. But believers should not sin for these reasons. And at the end of the sermon this morning, I'm going to kind of give you an application to challenge you, I'm going to push you a little bit. So I'm just giving you a warning in advance that is coming up. So the first thing that we read in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, is that believers should stop sinning because they are new. They are new. Verse 1 says this, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin live in it any longer, or live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." Let me unpack the argument that Paul is making here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin? Now, the context here is talking about when you and I were born, we were born, and pretty soon, as soon as we knew what was going on, we started sinning. And we were doing it for a while. About the time Mom and Dad were changing our diapers, we were figuring out this thing called sin, and we were doing it. And so what he's saying is, are we to continue in sin? Now that we've become a believer, do we keep doing the sin that we used to do? And he gives a reason why someone might say that they should. So that grace may increase. A chapter back in 5:20, Paul said this thing. He says, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. And so what is possible that a person might say, hey, if I'm sinning more, it's okay because God's grace is more. Look, God gets more glory. Okay, now, none of us are fooled by that, right? Like, nobody's fooled by that. Everybody knows what we're doing. This dude or this lady, whoever's saying this, they want to sin. And they're just looking for an excuse to do it. That's what they're doing. They're like, hey, I want to sin, so I'm looking for, hey, God, it's okay if I sin because you get the glory. Hey, right? Okay, so that's his argument. He's trying to say, hey, is that okay? Verse 2, may it never be. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? That was a part of your old life, but you've died to that sin. Why would you keep doing it? That was so characteristic of your old life, but not characteristic of your new life. Why would you do that? Should we live in it? Verse 3, then he uses an illustration from baptism. He says, do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Paul is alluding back to the experience of the people that are reading this, and he's saying, hey, remember when you were baptized? You were baptized, you were put under the water, and going under the water symbolized your death. And as Christ was raised from the dead, so you are raised up out of the water. And what are you raised up out of the water to do? To live a new life. You have died to your old life, and now you have been raised up to live a new life. And that's the argument here. A believer should not sin. A believer needs to stop sinning because they have a new life. You need to understand that this life is characterized by newness. And all of the things from the old don't fit there anymore. You may have had this experience. I don't know if you've ever watched kids or watched a nephew or your own kids. You can go into a room where a toddler is playing and you walk through the threshold of the room and everything looks fine. The toddler's playing, you know, running around, just having fun. And as you get closer, you realize something is terribly wrong. Something is terribly wrong. The child has a dirty diaper, and the whole room smells awful. And what's weird in that moment is you look at the kid, and the kid doesn't seem to be bothered by it at all. Like, that would be a tip-off if you walk in the room and the kid's kind of uncomfortable, but they're not. They're playing away like nothing, everything's going on. But when you get close enough, you realize, oh man, something is wrong. Something is definitely wrong. And it's hard for us to say, how do you not realize this? How is this not an issue for you? And the reason it's not an issue for them is because they've become familiar with the situation. They've become familiar with the smell. They've become familiar with the uncomfortableness. They've become familiar with it, and so it's not an issue for them anymore. You and I walk into the room. We're coming from a different thing. We're not familiar with it, and it hits you in the face. It's such a drastic difference, like there's something wrong. And in a similar way, what can happen is that believers have become so used to a sin in their life, they become so accustomed to it, it doesn't even seem that wrong anymore. It doesn't even seem like it's that big of a deal anymore. And what Paul is arguing here is that a believer should stop sinning because you have a new life. You have a brand new life. And all of those things from your old life don't belong. It shouldn't be there anymore. What I want to challenge you to do now is I want to challenge you to think back through your life. And I want you to think back through your day and think back through your life over the past week, the past couple of weeks. And what would you say, if this applies to you, is your signature sin? And what I'm asking you to do, there are definitely some people who have gotten to the place in their life where they have pretty much surrendered themselves completely to the Lord, and they don't really have any sins, any easy sins or any hard sins, and for people in those positions, that's wonderful. There are other people who are on the other end of the spectrum, and they're just living their life with no care whatsoever about how much sin they're doing or whatever. But a lot of people are in the middle. They have mostly cleared up their stuff, but there's some private things that are happening that people don't know about. There's some private things that they're struggling with. And what I'm asking you to do is, in your mind, if that is your situation, to say, okay, what is my signature sin? What is the thing that I am having trouble breaking the pattern in my life? So we're asking the question, why should a believer stop sinning? And the first thing we've seen is because you have a new life. You are new. And then in verses 5 through 11, Paul develops an argument that you have because you are alive now. And I'm just going to read through verses 10 through 11. It says, verse 10 says, "For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Verse 10 says, for the death that he died, speaking of Christ, the death that he died on the cross to pay the penalty for the sins of those who would believe, for the death that he died to sin once for all. And the sin being referred to here is the sin that was put on humanity because of Adam's choice. And what Christ did was he took the penalty for Adam's sin cast out on all humanity. And so he died to sin. He died the death that sin brought about once for all who believe. But the life that he lives after he was resurrected, the life that he lives to God. The life that he lives now that he's resurrected is in intimacy with God the Father. And verse 11, this is being used as an example for us. And it says, so now, even so, consider yourselves, talking to the Roman believers here, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. Consider yourself as a person who is no longer under the curse of sin, which results in death. You are no longer in that spot. You are dead to sin, but you are alive to God in Christ Jesus. As Jesus has intimacy with the Father, so we too can have intimacy with God. We are alive. Before we entered into a personal relationship with God through Christ, we were dead. Our lives were marching toward death, separation forever from God. But Jesus offered the way for our lives to be characterized by being alive, being in an intimate relationship with God, something that we couldn't have achieved any other way. I remember pretty clearly when Lisa and I were able to throw away the last diaper bag. We had several diaper bags through the years. But I remember when we put away the diapers for good. For one, I felt like a rich man because diapers were super expensive, still are. But for other thing, it just felt so freeing to be away from that lifestyle. Because as a mom and as a dad, even when you go out in public, you're always thinking, okay, where's the restroom? Where's a place where I can change a diaper if I need to? It's always in the back of your head. And you're always thinking, man, did we pack enough diapers? You know, we pack enough diapers for this trip because you don't run out of diapers while you're out there. So you're tied, in some ways, you're tied to the diaper bag. You're tied to the diapers. But when that's over, when all the kids are potty trained, you feel like you've got this complete freedom. And if somebody were to come to us at that time and said, hey, why don't you go back to living that life of being tied to the diaper bag? There's no way. There's no way I would have wanted to do that. No, because now we've reached this stage where we're alive. We can live life now. We don't have to worry about any of that stuff anymore. There's nothing about that would have been attractive to go back. And that is the argument that Paul is making here. He says, now that you've entered into a relationship with God through Christ, you are alive. You are alive in a relationship with God that you couldn't have had before. Why would you want to go back and do the things that characterized your life back then? Believers should stop sinning because they are now alive. And the thing that I want to challenge you to begin to do is I hope that if this applies to you, you've labeled what your signature sin is. And here's what I want to, for your consideration, is if you have a signature sin, you need to understand something. You're stuck. If you have a sin that keeps coming back in your life, you need to understand, you need to acknowledge, you need to come to the realization that you're stuck. Here's the deal. Sin never, I have never seen a sin, and I haven't been everywhere and I haven't seen anything, but it's pretty much likely this is the case. I have never seen a sin that logically made sense. Sure, it's fun for a little while, but the penalties are way bad and usually last longer. Logically speaking, sin doesn't make a bit of sense. But if you and I are keep going back into the same sin, no matter how frequent or infrequent it is, you need to understand something. You're stuck. It's not bad to be stuck. Not the end of the world. But the reality is most people look at it and it's like, it's not that big of a deal. I could get out anytime if I wanted to. But if you keep going back to it, the reality is you're probably stuck. So we're asking the question, why should believers stop sinning? First of all, it's because they're new. Second of all, because they're alive. And third, we're going to see in verses 12 through 14, they've been graced. We talked about this last week. Being graced by God is something that you are declared forgiven even though you've done things wrong. You are called righteous even though you're not. And that's what it means to be graced. You're given a status, you're given a calling that doesn't reflect reality, but the Lord gives it to you anyways. That's what it means to be graced. Let's see how Paul develops it here in verse 12. He says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be your master, for you are not under law, but you are under grace. Verse 11, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign. Do not let sin be in control of your body, your mortal body, so that you obey its lusts, that you obey its desires. Don't let yourself be controlled by your sin. If you're stuck, it's not good. Verse 13, and do not go, he gives a very specific example here to help them kind of visualize what he's saying. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. If the sin that you're having trouble with is with your tongue, what he's saying is don't let your tongue be used by sin to do bad things. Don't let that member be used by that. Instead, what he says, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Instead of allowing that part of your body to be used by sin to do bad things, take that part and dedicate it to God and say, God, use this to do something good for your glory. That's the trick. That's what he's trying to say here. Is take the thing that's being used for bad, don't do it that way anymore, and instead give that part, whatever it is, to God and say, God, you use it. And then verse 14 says, for sin shall not be master over you. Sin shall not be in charge of you, tell you how to live your life. For you are not under law. You are not living under the thing, this, do this, don't do this. This is how you have to live in order for you to enter into a relationship with God. You're not under law, but you are under grace. You've been graced. God has called you righteous, even though you aren't. God has forgiven you, even though you've been done a lot of bad things. God has graced you. And that's the argument here in this last couple of verses in the section is that believers should stop sinning because they've been graced. They have been given a status. They have been given a naming. They have been given a perspective from God that they don't deserve, and they got it anyways. They've been graced. And this is a very difficult concept for us to understand. We attach on to parts of it, but we really have trouble grasping. What does it mean that we've been graced? A couple of years ago, I was walking out of our apartment down our hallway towards the elevator. And as I crossed, I got ready to cross the threshold of this apartment, this little kid, and I knew him, he's on our floor, and great little kid, comes bolting out of the apartment. He's about 2 years old at this time, buck naked. Buck naked. I'm just running out in front of me. And I stopped and I started laughing because I'm like, what is going on? And this kid's running down the hall, just having a great time. And so mom was like two steps behind, and she's like, I'm so sorry. And so after she got a hold of him and grabbed him and brought him back, she explained what was going on. She's trying to teach him about potty training. And she says, what I'm trying to help him to understand is I'm trying to help him to get this concept that if he doesn't have to wear diapers, he can be free. Well, he kind of took part of that and literally ran with it. But we do the same thing. Oftentimes when we understand the concept of grace, we understand parts of what it means, and we're like, oh, let's run with it. But if we really, truly stopped and understood what it meant, that we are wretched, sinful people, and God looks down and he says, you're forgiven and you're righteous. If we understood that, if we really grasped what that means, there would be no attraction to going back to that life again. None whatsoever. But the problem is we understand little parts of it. We kind of grasp it. And you need to help that settle in. We need to figure out a way for that to settle in. You have been graced. You have been given a position and a forgiveness that you do not deserve. And why would you want to go back to doing anything like what got you into the mess in the first place? What we've been doing as we've been going through here is I wanted to kind of answer the question, why should believers stop sinning? And what you mostly usually hear from this stage or from any preacher anyways is you should stop sinning because sinning is bad. Stop doing it. And that's true. But Paul kind of gives an argument here. He says, listen, you need to understand. You are new. God has made you new. You have a new life. He said, you are now alive. You were dead. You had no hope. And God made you alive and in a relationship with him. And God has graced you. So Paul says, there's no reason to go back to sin. There's no reason to go back into that life because all that God has done for you. And the reality is that even Alex and I were talking about this whole concept, this image of a dirty diaper. I will venture to say that probably very few of you, maybe none of you, have ever heard a sermon with a dirty diaper in it. It's gross, right? It's disgusting. And I wrestled a little bit, not for very long, but I wrestled for a little bit. Should I do this? But I came to the conclusion, yes, because here's why. It's because we can get to the point in our lives where we just have this real complacent attitude towards sin. Yeah, we shouldn't sin. Yeah, we shouldn't do sin. Yeah, probably shouldn't sin. Yeah, that's just a little sin. It's not that big of a deal. We get real complacent about sin. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm just trying to relabel sin in your mind. Sin is not okay. Yes, God will forgive it. But it's not okay. Sin is not something that is just an uncomfortable thing that God just has to discipline us for. That's not what sin is. Sin is disgusting. It is everything that God saved us from. And when we walk back to it, he's like, what are you doing? This makes no sense. And part of the problem is a lot of our sin is private. It's something that we say. It's something that we do. It's something that we think that nobody knows about. And so my challenge for you this morning is as we move into a time of communion, I want to challenge you to repent of that sin for good. Be done with whatever that signature sin is. I've asked you to name it. I've asked you to think about, to understand the reality that you're stuck. Just to give you a sense of the perspective of how difficult It is, to get rid of this. But now what I'm going to challenge you to do as we go through communion, I'm going to give you an opportunity, and I want you to take this issue before the Lord, and I want you to ask Him to help you to break that sin in your life. If you, when you came in this morning, you should have received a little communion cup. And if you didn't receive one of these on the way in, just raise your hand. We have some gentlemen in the back who will be happy to get these for you. And what we do, this is something that we've used the terminology of the Lord's Supper. And it's a time for us to remember what Christ did on the cross. Jesus allowed Himself to be beaten and bruised, tortured, and then killed on a cross for crimes He didn't commit. But in so doing, He provided a way for people throughout all of the ages to believe in that sacrifice and have their sins forgiven. And what this time is a time for us to remember the body that Christ was willing to have broken and the blood that He was willing to have shed so we could be forgiven. What I want to ask you to do in just the few moments here, I just want to ask you to spend some time in prayer. If you bow your heads and close your eyes and just talk to the Lord, take a few minutes and talk to the Lord. And if there is a sin in your life that's trapped you, that you're stuck in, confess that to Him and ask Him to help you to remove it from your life completely. Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took some bread. Do you have, just open up the top layer and expose the bread portion. Similar, we're remembering back to the time what Jesus did with His disciples. And He took some bread and He broke it. And He says, "This is My body which is broken for you. Take eat of it in remembrance of Me." Give you just a few moments now to pray. And if you have a sin in your life that is something that's got a good stranglehold on you, I'm going to ask you to pray for a specific thing. I'm going to ask you to pray that the Lord would show you what you need to do to break that sin in your life. You might need to ask for somebody's help. You might need to tell a friend or a family member and ask them to pray for you. You may just need to put a filter on your computer. You may need to put a jar on your desk. Every time you say something you shouldn't say, you have to put 25. Whatever it is, ask that the Lord would help you, show you what you need to do to break this sin's stranglehold in your life. And in the same way, after supper, He took the cup and He said, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." And then He concluded with, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until He comes again."
Let's stand and sing one more time before we leave today.
earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Someone to talk to after the service, just come forward. I'll be happy to talk to you. We'll have some other people that will be available to talk to you. If you need someone to pray with you, we've got people that would be willing to pray for you. You don't have to tell them a lot. You can just tell them a little, tell them a lot, whatever you want. They would love to have the opportunity to pray with you. Now, all glory to God, who is able, according to his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.